There's a medrash on the Psukim and Parshas of Sfiras HaOmer, and to properly understand it, as well as many aspects of Sfiras HaOmer that need understanding, we have to look at the default position of this medrash. And the default position is frequently indicated by a medrash or a gemara telling us what not to say or what not to think. And we never find that Chazal need to tell us not to think about something or not to say something unreasonable, but in fact they need to tell us not to say something compelling. And when we read this medrash and it tells us what not to say, it sounds like they're telling us not to say something we would never think of saying. Le'olam al tihi mitzvas ha'omer kala be'einecha. Forever, never let the mitzvah of the Omer be taken lightly in your eyes. It's a mitzvah. It's a korban. It's coming right in the middle of all of the holidays. We're going to take it lightly? Why? Where's the default to take mitzvahs ha'omer lightly? That's the first question that comes up. Okay, so you're telling me not to take it lightly. I don't know, I had a default to take it lightly. So now tell me why I shouldn't take it lightly. Because al yidei mitzvas ha'omer, zacha Avraham lirash es eretz kanaan. Because it's through the Omer sacrifice, or something connected to that, that Avraham inherited the land of Israel, and it brings a proof text. Resh Lakish amar, l'olam al tihi mitzvas ha'omer kala be'einecha. Why? Shall yedei mitzvas haomer asa hakadosh baruch hu shalom bein ish leishto? Because God introduced marital harmony through something related to the korban haomer, and what is that? Havi omer biskus kemach saorim. The suspected adulterous wife, in order to reassure the husband that she did not commit adultery, or to eliminate her if she did. So there's a special sacrifice brought in the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Sota, which is made up of barley. Barley is a unique grain in that we only find two korbanos that have grain in them. There are only two korbanos that are barley-oriented, and all the rest are wheat. All other korbanos mincha, all other wheat flour sacrifices have wheat. Two have barley. The Omer and the Sota. So since the purpose of Sota is to reintroduce marital harmony, the Medrash connects the Korban HaOmer, which is barley, with the marital, with the Korban Sota, which is barley. Okay, so now I'm not so, now if I had a default not to take it lightly, how is this convincing me not to take it lightly? And it's because marital harmony is a very significant thing. So why in the world are they connected? How in the world are they connected? How in the world is the Jewish people getting Eretz Yisrael connected to the barley sacrifice? The Omer sacrifice is brought on the second day of Pesach. So hopefully you'll be paying attention to Kriyas HaTorah this week, because it's this week, Parshas Emor, that we're going to be reading about it. And the Torah introduces Eile Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Osam B'Moadam, and all the introduction of all of the holidays are coming. Chodesh Arishon Arbasayom L'Chodesh Bein Arbayim Pesach L'Hashem. It's going to introduce Pesach. Okay, that you have to eat matzah on the 15th, you have to bring a Korban Pesach on the 14th, and eat it with matzah on the 15th. And you have to bring sacrifices every day. And then on the Yom HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh Kol Melechas Avoda Lo Sasu, on the seventh day it's also Yontif. And we finish the discussion of Pesach. And if you'll allow me to skip us a little bit, then it jumps to Shavuos, and then to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, all of the holidays. Now the Korban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, and then that leads us to the counting of Sfirata Omer. But chronologically, as soon as we finished As soon as the Torah finished telling us what we're supposed to do on the 14th and 15th, Korban Pesach, eating matzah, etc., before it gets to what I'm supposed to do on the seventh day, Bayom HaShvi Mikra Kodesh Kol Meleches Avoda Lo Sasu, it should have told me to bring on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan, the Korban Omer, and then start counting Sviras Omer. That's not what it does. It first finishes discussing all of Pesach and tells me that the seventh day is Yom Tov, and then it says Ki Tavo El Aretz, when you come to Israel, to the land, and you cut the grains, then you have to bring the Omer sacrifice on the second day of Pesach, and then you have to count the 49 days, and only then do you get to Shavuos. So it's out of chronological order. It's almost like we finished Pesach, and then we're going backwards to the second day of Pesach to talk about the Omer. And another overriding question is that if we're talking about the Omer sacrifice, it doesn't belong here at all. Because here we're told the laws of the holidays. In Parshas Pinchas, we're going to be told the laws of the sacrifices. So if the Omer is a sacrifice, it doesn't even belong here. It belongs in Parshas Pinchas. And then we get to what is the overriding question of the whole Omer period. The Gemara in Yevamos, Amru Shnema Sar Elef Zugos Talmidim, Hayulo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, 12,000 chavrusas, 24,000 Talmidim, the Kulan Mesu Beperek Echad, and they all died in one season. And the Gemara continues later to say that season was between Pesach and Shavuos. And the famous line, why did they all die? Mipnei Shelo Nohagu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh, that they did not behave with respect to each other. What kind of disrespect did these Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva exhibit to each other? They weren't being criticized because they were yeshiva guys who lacked respect for professionals, for doctors, for lawyers. No, well, you know, you might look down at somebody who wasn't learning Torah all day. These were people who were learning Torah all day and they were not respecting their chavrusas, the people sitting in the same beis medrash with them, wearing the same color yarmulke and the same shtreimel and whatever else normally generates a lack of respect. That can't be what's going on here. So what in the world was going on that they didn't exhibit the proper respect? So these are the overriding, and then it going with the fact that they stopped dying on like Lag BaOmer. Okay, well, this is a very strange story, but this is the underlying subtext of all of Sirat HaOmer, is that this is what happened, and we have the Avelus. So here are some thoughts on this that are, I think, very relevant as you can either undertake your time in yeshiva, or you continue your time in yeshiva, or you're going to even eventually be leaving yeshiva. And it has to do with the whole goal of the Sirat HaOmer, taking us from Pesach to Shavuos. So God interacts with the world on two levels. One is divine revelation, miraculous. God is manifest. That was Yitziat Mitzrayim, Pesach, Kriyas Yamsuf. Hopefully you tapped into it on some level during the 7 days of Pesach. The miraculous nature of the revelation of God. This miraculous revelation continued for 40 years in the desert. Miraculous existence. But the other system is when God operates through the natural system. Man confronts nature, man confronts the world, and God is not manifest. That's a little bit aimless, it's a little bit random, it's a little bit scary, but that's the system we live in on a daily basis. The Omer sacrifice represents the second system. What is the difference between barley and wheat in the concepts of Chazal? Wheat is the food of human beings. Barley is the food of animals. That's why it says explicitly in the Midrashim, the Gemara, that the reason why barley is brought as the sota sacrifice is because the woman is suspected of an animal behavior. Znus, adultery, sexual improprieties, that's viewed as pure animal behavior. And therefore we bring animal food as the sacrifice. Barley is animal food. This is the sacrifice of the Omer that we bring on the second day of Pesach. When the Jews left Egypt, where were they holding? They were holding at the 49th level of depravity, Mem Tet Shari Tuma, the lowest level that the human being can, that a Jew can reach. They're leaving Egypt at that level. And where are they heading? They're heading to Sinai to get the Torah. 49 days after being at the lowest level of Tuma, they're going to stand at Sinai for divine revelation and receive the Torah. How is it possible to go from that low level of Tuma to the highest level of divine revelation? So the secret is in Sfirat HaOmer, which is manifesting something about the Omer sacrifice. Sfirat HaOmer is counting. What do? We count one day at a time. Usually, when you look at one day doesn't seem so significant. It's today, if I don't do it today, I can do it tomorrow. Okay. What is one day going to matter? Sfirat HaOmer tells us that the way to get from the Mem Tet Shari Tuma that they were when they left Egypt to divine revelation is one day at a time. We're in a society that wants everything instant. Everything big, everything loud, everything fast. Sfirat HaOmer tells us it doesn't happen that way. It happens in little, tiny, incremental steps. You have to go and look for how you're going to improve. What needs improvement? If you're paying attention to the fine print at the end of the Sfirat HaOmer, so there's little words, you know, Netzach Shebehod, Chesed Shebegevura. These are the seven Midos. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. The seven qualities of the human being. And the idea of Sfirat HaOmer is that it represents rectification, growth, in each of those seven times seven qualities, the seven levels and the seven subsets of those levels. Where does barley come into the discussion? Why is barley the appropriate sacrifice? Why is animal food the appropriate sacrifice? When you look at barley, what do you see? You see barley. And what do we do with barley? We feed animals. That's what happens when you look at the surface. That's what happens when you look at what is manifest. What's missing is to look below the surface and see what the potential is. I read years ago in a business magazine, so they were doing performance reviews. And it was a self-assessment. So on the questionnaire were two questions. List the qualities that you have, the good qualities you have. Long list. The second question was, please list the qualities you would like to improve. And a high percentage of the people filled out NA. NA means not applicable. Improvement, not applicable to me. Okay? That's the problem. The problem is they didn't think that there's an idea of growth, of potential. I'm here, I can get there. That's the first step. Where's the potential? But how do I get from here to there? Well, where's the pill? Where's the website? Where's the instant thing that I do to get from here to there? So barley is the lowest level grain, but it has the potential to come to the Mizbeach as a sacrifice just like wheat. You have to see the potential that exists, the spiritual potential in what looks like a very physical, low-level thing. And how do we unlock that potential? For the Jewish people to get from the low levels of depravity when they left Egypt to Sinai in 49 days, there has to have already been the potential for that growth the day they left Egypt. The potential has to be there, but it's hidden away. How do we unlock it? We have to recognize it, and then we have to start working one little step at a time. Step by step. So animal food is not human food. It's definitely on a lower level. It's part of the material world. It's part of the animal world. But we have the potential to nurture it and have it grow. We can bring it to the Mizbeach as a sacrifice. You have potential to grow. You have to identify and recognize your potential. And then you have to realize that while you can take a potato that used to take 30 minutes to bake and now we can microwave it in 5 minutes, you can't take a tomato seed and microwave it into a tomato plant. It takes slow growth. Parenthetically, a real connoisseur of food can tell the difference between a slow-baked 30-minute potato and a 5-minute microwave potato. So that even if we could microwave our growth, it might not be the best thing. Famous Swiss zoologist, psychologist Jean Piaget developed the idea of stages of growth, that a baby starts at a low level sensory motor. They can only operate with the real concrete operations, formal operations, that the human being grows in intellectual structures step by step. And when it takes time. There's things that are around 2-year-olds that somebody can do, and about 6 or 7, and then at about 12, and then at about 15, various intellectual activities. And he always used to laugh at the American question. This was the American question. He comes to America to give his lectures, and the question all the psychologists are asking him is, wait a minute, so if at 2 the child can do this, and about 6 or 7 they can do this, and right? So how do we get them to go through these stages faster? The American question. So he said, I'm not sure you want them to do that. And he illustrated it with an intellectual structure that human beings, babies, share with cats, kittens. It's called object permanence. This is an example. Object permanence, if you've ever played with a baby, so you're playing with a baby with a toy, a little baby, and playing, and then you cover the toy with a blanket. So for a little baby at the beginning, it's gone. They stop and they go off to something else. As the baby gets a little older, and you just cover the ball or the toy with a blanket, so they go and they start moving the blanket because they realize it's still there. That's called object permanence. It's an intellectual structure that is developed 6-8 months. I don't remember the exact age. 6-8 months or so, a baby gets a structure called object permanence. A kitten, 2 months. You do that with a kitten, a little tiny baby kitten. They play and you cover it. Within 2 months, the kitten has the object permanence structure. Wait a minute. So it takes a human baby 6 or 8 months to develop something that a kitten can develop in 2 months. How can we get the baby to do it faster? Says Piaget, the structure that the kitten developed in 2 months never leads to much beyond that. The kitten's intellectual ability, that's... Intellectual structures that are developed fast have a very shallow base. So don't think that growing fast is necessarily a great thing. Piaget's whole point was that the faster you do something that takes time, the less stable it is, and the less it serves as a foundation for something higher. Sefirat HaOmer tells us it's step by step, slowly. Where do the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva come into this? So here, I'm going to learn a pshat in Lo Noagu Kavod Zelizeh. What does the word kavod mean? The root of the word kavod comes from the word kaved, heavy, significant. What do we as a society give kavod to? What do we as individuals give kavod to? We give kavod to the things that we think are significant. So therefore, we have a society that gives kavod to movie stars, to basketball players, to multimillionaires, because that's what we think is significant. Okay, they were just on the radio this morning. I heard how they were complaining about 40% of the math and language teachers in the Israeli school system are underqualified to do their job. And the reason they got the jobs is because there's no teachers. They need to compromise. Why are there no teachers? Because we pay our lawyers a starting salary of $190,000. And we pay our teachers a starting salary of $30,000. So what did we just say? What did society tell us is significant? Lawyers, financiers, making money, teachers, that's not significant. That's what we give kavod to. So what is the real kavod? What is the real significance of the person? So when it says in the Mishnah, Ezehu mechubad hamechabed es habrios, an honored person is one who honors others, and it brings a proof text from the fact that God says, I honor those who honor me, and the problem is that the proof text has no connection to the thesis. The fact that God honors those who honor him, what does that have to do with me being honored because I honor you? And one of my understandings is that the true honor of the human being is the Tzelem Elohim. The fact that that in every human being is a Tzelem Elohim, is a divine element. So when you give honor to that in the other person, you also have it, and that makes you honored, that makes you significant. Kavod doesn't just mean who gets to sit on the dais, who gets their picture in the paper. Kavod means what's the significance. So I believe one of the problems was that the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva saw their chavrusas and saw their colleagues. They saw their chavrusas and they saw their colleagues. That's what they saw. But where's the real kavod? The real significance is potential. The potential is always much more than is there. And lo nagu kavod, they did not appreciate the potential that each of their colleagues had. And of course, then they also don't appreciate the potential that they have. So that is in the Sefirat HaOmer time is a contradiction to everything that Sefirat HaOmer stands for. There's potential to reach from the lowest level to the highest level. You have to see that potential. The Omer is brought from the least significant grain, and it leads us to the Korban on Shavuos, which is wheat, the Mincha Chadosha. So we have to see from the beginning the potential that's there. We as individuals have to realize the potential each of us has. When we look at our colleagues and our friends, we have to see the potential that they have. And now let's tie it back to the beginning. So how does the Omer give us the merit of Eretz Yisrael and the merit of Sholem Bayis? We'll start with the second one. One of the problems in a marriage is routine, taking things for granted, being critical. You're going to be looking for a spouse, and you're going to be looking for potential. That's wonderful. You better be looking for potential, because if you think you're going to marry a finished product, then you're never going to get married. Okay, that's one of the problems today, is people have unrealistic expectations. But I'm going to give you realistic expectations. You realize that there's lots of potential here. But 5 or 10 or 15 years later, you stop looking at the continued potential, and all you see is what's on the surface. That's conflict. So Sholem Bayis requires that you constantly see the potential in your spouse. You constantly remind yourself of potential that exists that's always beyond the surface. Eretz Yisrael. Well, Eretz Yisrael looks like another land. It looks like another country, another economy, a great economy. 50 years ago, it was a terrible economy. You can't imagine that in the 1950s, when they asked Ben-Gurion, how do you make $1 million in Israel? His answer was, come with 2 million. Okay, that was a real answer in those days. You know, when they said, hey, when they asked Ben-Gurion, you know, don't you think we should transition from a 6-day work week to a 5-day work week? His answer was, how about starting with a 1-day work week? Okay, that was the country 60 years ago, and today it's a world power. It's unbelievable. It's an economy. It's physical. It's money. Agriculture. Unbelievable agriculture. So it looks on the surface like physical things. And we have to see that no, Eretz Yisrael is spiritual potential. The Jews in Eretz Yisrael is spiritual potential. What's going on this week has to be appreciated for unbelievable miracles and unbelievable potential that exists, and not to look at the surface. That's the secret of Sfirat HaOmer. That's the Maral talks about why the idea, and there's a gematria is about the fact that the Talmidim died for 32 days, which is the gematria of Kavod. All right, and then the last 17 days after they stopped dying was the gematria of Tov. All right, so you have, and Kavod is also Lev, you have Lev Tov, Kavod, but he also says in there that the Kavod of the Torah is revealed during the Sfira because it's 7 weeks of 7 days. Very cryptic statement. I understand that also, part of it to mean is that it's natural process. Pesach was miracles. And we finish with Pesach, and we close down the discussion of Pesach. Now we introduce Sfirat HaOmer, because now we're in a natural system. A natural system is 7 days, 7 weeks. It all represents the natural system. Our job is to unlock all the potential that exists in the natural system. We're physical human beings, but we have to appreciate the unbelievable potential each of us has. And I believe that's one of the failures of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva when it says Lo Noagu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh. They didn't see potential. They didn't see the real significance that exists in every person. You have to see it in all of your friends. Most important, you have to see it in yourself. And you have to realize that the only way to unlock it is one day at a time. One day and then another day. And you can go from however low you think you might be, and hopefully you're not going to fill in not applicable when we talk about improvement, that you will realize you have what to improve. But the way to improve it is one day at a time that can take you to the lowest level all the way to Shavuos, to Matan Torah, to Divine Revelation.